Hey Seekers, here's another installment of Susie's Hurricane Spectacular.
The program you are about to hear, Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Chapter 12. Meet George Jenkum.
The play begins in an atmosphere of mystery, tension, and uncertainty. We learn of events which preceded this opening scene.
Some books were born, made to wear the flag. They're red, white, and blue. And when the band played, failed to cheat, they point the cannon at you. It is me. It is me. I am a senator's son. It is me. It is me. I am the fortunate one. Some folks are born silver spoon in hand. Don't they help themselves? But when the taxman comes to the door, the path looks like a rummage sale. It is me. It is me. I am the millionaire, son. It is me. It is me. I am the fortunate one.
In this cassette, we shall offer several perspectives on Flatbush that highlight its timeless significance. In one sense, Flatbush is a rather eerie mystery, complete with a wandering ghost, spies, pirates, and graveyards. Flatbush is also a revenge story, packed with murder, incest, suspense, intrigue, and madness. This play illustrates a diseased kingdom, poisoned by corruption, a kingdom in which violent acts once begun create their own momentum and destroy both the evil and the good.
I always say, if you're gonna do something, do it right.
It is full of gibberish, like a tale told by an idiot.
The idiot, George Bush.
Whatever the guy's name was.
But he was my brother.
Jeb Bush spoke unbelieving and tapped his teeth with the dirty point of his spear.
That brother of mine is afraid now. If he isn't killed, I mean.
I posed the question to Roden. What do you think? Roden, turn towards me.
If you're scared of someone, you hate him, but you can't stop thinking about him.
You got that right.
You kid yourself, he's all right, really.
You guessed it.
And then when you see him again, it's like asthma and you can't breathe.
There was absolutely no question about that.
You gotta deal with this.
Sure.
You write a letter to your brother. Jeb considered this solemnly.
It was a short message, but a good one. I wrote 13 words and a date on a sheet of paper and handed it to him.
That'll do it.
What do you think of it?
It went.
Hey.
Long time not here.
I demand the immediate surrender of my brother.
Effective immediately.
There's a disaster in New Orleans.
Roden left again.
President Hurricane Bush.
The governor's eyes were half shut.
End games are always full of surprises, aren't they? Where do you think his next move will be?
Don't worry, I'm good at finding people.
Roden knew what we had to do. Then he went to work.
As he looked steadily down the river in the direction of his right hand, the man had taken. George's brother's voice was almost a whisper.
I wish my father... Oh, what's the use?
Hello, this is Pat Robertson. Is it over?
And I looked up to see his father.
Surprise.
Pat Robertson appeared in a gout of acrid blue smoke.
Yes!
Robertson and the bushes were so close that he left his sweat on them.
My son, I am your father, Jarrell.
Dad! No, he didn't like a human daddy, believe him. Hell. More like Adolf Hitler.
Jeb spread his arms wide, as though in church.
Then I saluted him with my middle finger.
Thank you, son.
Hey, son!
Pat Robertson said morosely.
Son, how you doing?
Dear Dad, I am fine.
The governor's sarcasm was heavy and ominous.
They look okay.
His face was a mask.
I am
your father,
Luke.
That kind of pissed me off.
My father. What does he want?
kissed me and said, well, you're the most wonderful daddy in all the world, you know, and thanks a lot.
Not hardly. Brother Jay said,
what exactly do you want to see me about?
Just what I like so much about you.
Go off and haunt somebody else.
That's kind of extreme, isn't it?
He paused.
If you're going to lie about what you do,
well, you better do it, and you better do it early.
What was his point?
If you got good genes, don't worry about it. If your genes are a little damaged, then you got a problem.
My brother.
Yes, that's right. Your dim brother.
My brother.
A damn religious lunatic. Yes, your brother.
So what old George means bankruptcy and scandal and prison.
Yes, of course, your brother is a problem.
My crazy brother, the prison is nothing but a scurvy little spider.
I don't want to go that far.
I'm scared of him, said Jib. He hates me. I don't know why. I'll tell you what. He hates you too, Jab. Me? Why me?
Go ask your mother. But,
I knew you'd understand. That's why I came to you for help.
You must not look to me for help. Your brother is no longer my problem. He is now your problem.
Great. Just great.
Jib, Robert and Bush's lips were tightly compressed.
But I'm destined for other things.
But,
Following my dreams.
Well, your dream is stupid. Look, son, just because it's your dream doesn't make it right or noble or whatever. Charlie Manson was following his dream. Joe Stalin, Michael Bolton. You get my point?
He rolled his eyes.
And some people like George have been resuscitated, brought back to life, like zombies, because of you.
Oh, did he know that for a fact?
Of course you can't pretend the offense didn't happen.
Oh, Jesus.
You broke your promise to kill him. You had to bring him back to life again.
Then he looked at me with an expression that was so absolutely sociopathic that it made the hair on my neck stand straight up.
Now, what are we going to do about that?
He insisted that he needed my help.
I want you to pray with me.
Reverend Robertson closed his eyes and prayed.
Father, we thank you that you have a plan for warfare and hatred and chaos.
Can you say it now? I'm your bitch, and you're my daddy?
Yes. And there's going to be a bloody conflict. And I assure you, it's going to be bloody and it's going to be messy. At least that's what I think.
Great.
And just keep in mind, when these bad things happen, do not be discouraged.
Fine, whatever.
I am in charge.
Okay.
But I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God,
okay.
Heartless without pity, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of those who hate me.
Right.
I watched as his face took on a wild-eyed expression that was indescribably frightening.
I am thy father's spirit. If thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh, God!
Revenge, most foul as in the best it is. But this most foul, strange and unnatural. Here.
Where?
The serpent that did sting thy father's life. Now wears his crown.
He was a hell of a salesman, believe me. I mean, if I hadn't known what I knew, I might have started half believing him.
Look at you. You're the prodigal son. You're quite a prize.
I've done questionable things.
MacBush now feels the full weight of guilt for the murders he has committed.
Ah, f*** me.
Nothing the god of biomechanics wouldn't let you in heaven for.
I gave him a what the f*** look.
You know, I've tried it all. You know, did a whole lot of drugs in the old days. It was LSD, marijuana, you know, marijuana, or angel dust, or heroin.
The prayer was not from the scriptures.
Banging, banging, banging heroin every single day, which will give a man an understanding of a spirit life that he wouldn't have had if he remained in the flesh.
Finally, he began talking about me.
On the planet Earth, you will have special powers and knowledge which will separate you from mankind.
Yuck.
The Savior. They will be cheering in the streets.
Whatever.
They will hammer their swords into timeshares.
What the hell are you talking about?
You can even give them your brother's hat as a gift, if you like.
Oh.
no, not again.
And stay away from booze because your natural defenses are let down.
Stop! If I use these powers only to tamper with the destiny of man,
I will use my powers for the fatherland.
Jib paused, wiping the sweat from his face.
Also, Dad, I'm not a virgin anymore.
You're an abomination.
I didn't know you cared.
Better go. All right.
Thy servants of the seal, thine approval and thy fatherly benediction, granting unto them grace to fulfill with pure and steadfast affection the ordinances and the laws. Amen, amen.
I didn't say anything, so he changed the subject with a sweeping gesture.
Well, listen, I've got to go down to hell.
Go to hell.
But
his tone changed again from coy to conspiratorial.
You better commit the act.
Jesus.
It would be my goal again to try to make the president a hunted endangered species. We did it to him once. We did it to him twice. Now get him! Thresh!
Jib, Robert Sunbush spoke in a queer, tight voice.
That's what I get for prayer.
If you're going to be petulant, I will sock it to you. Now get him! Thresh!
No sooner had Reverend Robertson exhaled the word
Thresh!
When the muffled detonation exploded before the Rough Jay startled eyes. Reverend Robertson's squinting visage vaporized in a gout of acrid blue smoke as his whiny beseechment faded in a sprinkle of falling glass.
I flushed and trembling. Jib knelt there, his fist clenched, and wiped the tears from his eyes.
Oh, Daddy!
The only one who could ever reach man was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever reach man was the son of a preacher man. The only one who could ever reach man was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever reach man was the son of a preacher man.
Yes, he was!
Jib snatched his knife out of the sheath, slammed it into a tree trunk.
He'd made a good start, but there was still much to be done.
Yes, of course, your brother is a problem.
The problem was, George had awakened to find himself out of beer in the hurricane zone.
Beer?
George was thrashing and flopping in a leafy clearing in the swamps.
I have no beer.
He shrugged unhappily.
This is a nightmare scenario.
Frustrated and restless, the president cursed the hurricane for bringing him such misery. Jesus hell.
Mr. President, are you up there?
Go away!
Hey, Bush.
You what?
Hurricane Katrina.
Yep.
Disaster in New Orleans.
I know.
You gotta come down and deal with it.
No, you can't do that. How many questions you got?
Jib, he sighed and pushed away the undergrowth.
Hey.
And examined dumb George curiously.
All right, let's go. Oh, my God!
Look, this is a total violation, Matt.
I want you to take a good look at that thing.
My eyes!
The president was feverish, drenched in sweat.
Damn!
He inventoried George's multiple agony. The fractured nose.
Oh, yeah?
The sliver of broken whiskey bottle in his right thigh. The goat-related goring in his groin. And soon, a crushed larynx.
Yeah, maybe.
His jaws stuck out all gross and crooked.
His head still dripped water from dousing.
If I could, maybe I can be more clear.
Water ran through his singed hair and into his eyes.
Bianca. Are you Bianca?
Sure.
The decider had a white, ecclesiastical-looking collar.
A shock collar, the kind used to train hunting dogs.
Who is it?
George.
Oh, George B.
I'm George.
Hello, George.
Glad to meet you. George smiled helplessly in an attempt to make friends. I ain't mad at you. I'm mad at this here bastard. I hate that kind of bastard, he said. I've seen plenty of them. He always wins. I hate that kind of guy. You guys travel around together?
Yeah.
It's a lot nicer to go around with a guy you know. He ain't bright. Hell of a nice fella, but he ain't bright, said George.
He put a collar on your neck.
Sure.
We should talk. See if we can work something out.
A little man reached into his pocket and produced the slip and handed it to George.
Read that. This is important.
The young man put it down on the table and pointed with a finger.
Right there. I read it. Read a report prepared by a commission. Right there. Read that.
George looked up questioningly. What you want me to read that for? Go on.
Truth of the matter is, a lot of reports in Washington are never read by anybody. Read that. We can't do that.
George watched him suspiciously.
I'm president of the galaxy. I don't get a lot of time for reading.
You understand?
He never read.
Nah, I got a gal who reads things for me.
You can read, can't you?
I've heard about it.
Read that. I gotta poop.
Don't make me do stuff.
Read it out loud.
George bent over it.
That's Scott call it. Very important report. And,
one side of his mouth wormed into a creepy, lopsided frown.
To show you how important this one is, you know...
Go on. Read that.
No, I will...
Read that. Go on.
Look. Please.
Read it out loud.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Go on. Read that.
Fudge.
George said sharply.
Go away. I'm reading. Go away.
Read that.
George worked his jaw like a steam shovel.
Have another beer.
Roadman glanced coldly at George. He's so goddamn dumb, he said hopelessly, and ran off into the brush.
Dumb brother. George grinned suddenly.
Let's see here.
George read slowly.
And
moved his lips a little to keep up. Dear.
I'm performing better in reading and math.
Dear.
What's this? George sneered.
A letter of surrender! We did it! Whew, it's a good thing, too, because I really didn't have an exit strategy.
George sighed. And then cried out suddenly.
You know, you see, I love a beer.
Oh.
White with foam and just as fruity beer.
George half closed his eyes, entranced with his own picture.
There's only one thing that would cause me to be higher than I could ever imagine. And that is, you know, Jacob.
George flushed, and the opaque, mad look came into his eyes again.
When I was a frat dude, life was fun. I was blitzed off my ass 24-7, doing Jacob.
George eyed the empty Johnny Walker bottle. He had it all figured out.
My job is to solve problems,
he said with a dark chuckle.
It's kind of easy to sit back and make. Jacob.
He squatted back on his heels and showed his teeth, snarled a little, and waited.
And the truth of the matter is, you know, it's easy. If we want to succeed, we'll potty.
Dude, who... I gotta poop.
This movement is threatening. We want our poops out as quick as possible.
3 hours later.
I feel that Willy Wonka.
Woo-hoo!
It was so cumbersome that he almost lost his balance and toppled forward.
Oh.
All right, 19.
The rightful heir on the throne.
Oh, this is embarrassing. How awkward and loud.
Three cheers for Pooh.
For who?
For Pooh.
Why, what did he do?
I thought you knew. I am talking of Pooh.
Of who?
Of Pooh.
Oh, Pooh. Pooh? Pooh-Pooh.
Three cheers for Pooh.
Oh.
He tried to hold his breath, but the aroma was unavoidable.
All blowing like a fungus, oozing and eyelashes.
Some of us were embarrassed. Start spaying eyes. They send you down to war. And when they ask how much should you give, they only answer more, and more.
4 years.
It is me. I am the military son. It is me. I am the fortunate one. It is me.
Now it was time to act. Okay, segue to the present.
For a moment, the place was lifeless. Then, from the direction of the state highway came the sound of footsteps. And then two men emerged from the path and came into the opening by the green pool. They had walked in single file down the path, and even in the open, one stayed behind the other.
The darkness seemed to flow around them like a tide. Jib began to choke and cough.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
Roden pointed at the ground.
That's him.
Roden was right.
He's giving off a stench that's offensive.
George was breathing quickly, his eyelids fluttering.
The green light and the glossy patches of sunshine played over George's befouled body.
He was dirty, his face covered with a sticky mess of brown crepe, and a monstrous red thing across the neck bulged.
What's this?
Guess. the swollen and bloody scar where Jeb slashed off George's head at an angle.
Oh, all right, okay, gotcha.
All over, George was scratched and bruised with filthy body, matted hair.
What is this crap?
Yuck.
An unwiped butt.
I'm gonna be sick.
George Bush was palely and fatly naked. His torn trousers had been lowered for an obvious purpose.
Stank like hell, too. I can smell them for 2-3 days.
Dirty as they come, Jay knew G quite well.
He sat stiffly on the bank and looked at George. In one hand, George held a bottle, and with the other, he held a glove.
What the hell is this?
Roden caught his breath.
He stiffened, and a scowl came on his face.
A guy gets too lonely, and he gets sick.
What do you mean?
You seen that glove on his left hand? Yeah, I seen it. Well, I tell you what, that glove's full of Vaseline. Vaseline? What the hell for?
Roden curled his upper lip.
He's done things you don't want to know about.
I fixed George in my sights, walked up to him real close.
Glove full of Vaseline.
Roden looked at me.
Glove full of Vaseline, he said disgustedly.
Oh, you dumb son of a bitch.
Jeb knelt at George's left, and for a long minute there was silence.
Jeb Bush pointed down.
Not a viable member of the gene pool. Wouldn't Darwin himself agree?
Yes, indeed.
Studying him as if he were a museum piece failed to disturb the dozing lunatic. The eyes were moist slits.
At last, Jeb cleared his throat and whispered something.
Wakey, wakey, hands off, Snakey.
An authentic mouth breather.
Wake up, you drunk!
The old man was soggy with sleep and bombarded with accusing questions.
Oh,
please, loafer.
Who there? Who there?
Well, well, well. If it isn't my half-brothers,
said the governor.
You!
The idiot George stood up, scowling in the gloom.
Hi, brother, how's your ass?
Yeah, what you want?
His mind cleared quickly, and he looked warily at his brother.
It's like we've been waiting on you all forever.
Hey, boy.
His hair all askew, his jug ears sticking out like mug handles, a bottle of in his ugly fist.
I got pooped.
Long time no see. He cupped his hand across the mouthpiece, the artery in his neck throbbing. He looked angrily over at me, an impulsive expression of annoyance flashing across his face. He didn't look happy to see me at all. Bonsoir, monsieur, dickhead. That kind of pissed me off.
Call me Snake. Gosh, okay.
George watched him suspiciously.
For the look on Dog's ugly face, I had just surprised him.
Don't look so surprised. It's because you left me for dead.
Yeah.
What was his point?
I was quite alive when you planted me in the ground.
George went on furiously.
Fortunately for me, the highly fertilized soil of this stinking planet caused me to metamorphosize into the creature you see here today.
What kind of drug and how much?
It was a small insulated container with a pressurized gasketed cap. I nudged the device with my foot and looked up George. What is it? He shrugged as if to say he didn't know. I put my hand over the bottle's mouthpiece very loosely, and I smiled at him as I released the arming device. It happened. It knocked me backwards. It was turds.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Texas mudslide.
I looked at President Dumbass. He'd taken a fragment of something nasty on his cheek. A long rivulet of crap ran down behind his right ear.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
He slurred with a sweeping gesture as rotten tears were streaming down his face.
Three cheers for Pooh.
He chortled. I hate him when he chortles.
Three cheers for Pooh.
For who?
For Pooh. Three cheers for the wonderful Pooh.
What is it?
Sewage treats.
You gotta be kidding.
George shook his head.
This is a highly classified program.
He fixed me with an ingratiating smile.
It takes a while to come up with a sewage solution.
George's voice grew soft and persuasive, for they ain't nothing so nice as Jenkins.
Jenkins, I wheezed. Still up to your ugly puss and butt crack smack.
George spoke proudly.
Proudly so.
You felt so bad.
Jay felt sick.
Smells like a bitter, sour ass. Did you drink that?
I struggled through most of it, but the butt fruit just kind of settled at the bottom.
His crapola was too thick for me.
Let's have it, poo-poo. Drinky poo.
So he turned back to the glass container and drained the whole thing thirstily.
George gurgled crapulously, his jaw jutting like a commode.
That's a little tangy.
At first, he looked puzzled. He stared at me goggle-eyed, exhaling wetly, his mouth moving. Then he sucked in a single breath, clutched his chest with his good hand, and dropped like a stone. Hey.
Whoa.
Then he coughed. He was absolutely crazy.
I feel lightheaded.
Whew!
He wiped crap from his nose. What was this? A sh**ing gallery?
Jib, come on!
I put my war face on.
Here, let me show you something.
And Jake strolled over to George and flipped him on his belly.
Calm down. Keep your hands where I can see them.
George rose to the surface of the pool, gulped air, and then sank into the dark water again, leaving widening rings on the water.
Come on, you know the drill.
George dropped on the bank. God, you're a lot of trouble, said George.
I ran a quick pat down. Careful not to disturb the electrified neck collar and the nasty bottle of Jenkins. He was pretty road ripe.
I could get along so easy and so nice if I didn't have you on my tail. I could live so easy, maybe have a girl.
Got any stuff on you?
Don't touch me, goddammit.
Huh? Whoa, what's this?
Oops.
His wallet contained 7 condoms. The guy was an optimist. Mr. Badass was carrying a Michigan driver's license in the name of Rush Limbaugh.
I picked the best person I could find.
Visa credit card.
I know. We're spending a lot of time.
And a photocopy of an ad from Hooters.
Hell, I've handled boob jobs 10 times worse.
As well as $200 in small bills.
Jesus, I got money.
Where the f*** he packed that?
What's that to you?
He was dressed to kill, literally.
I don't want to wear a suit.
And you know what that means, crap breath?
Steve.
Break your geeky neck. No.
Through clenched teeth, George said,
Jesus Christ, you're a crazy bastard.
Put on your pants, Captain.
Nope! I want to be naked.
Please?
I want to be naked!
You've got to put on your clothes!
You can't make me!
George stiffened, and a scowl came on his face.
I want pancakes!
Come out of here right now.
I told you to stop looking at me like that or I'll bust your teeth out.
We need to talk.
Why?
Last night was inexcusable.
I don't care!
Let's play. Let's play like we were brothers. Let's play like brothers do. I know the price. You're way too. You're way too. I said I love you. Do you love me too? Like brothers do. Like brothers do.
All the warm water and the splashing and laughing were only just sufficient to bring them together again.
Let's stop talking. We're about to bond. That'll make me vomit.
Oh, why don't you go to hell?
That's better. Screw you!
He glanced at George, who blurted out the last confession of incompetence.
Truth is, Junior Ranger, America just don't like me no more.
You got that right.
Oh, I've seen my approval ratings.
George said resignedly.
80 million. That's how many people voted against me the last time out. That's how many people didn't trust me, didn't like me, didn't say you, who knows.
They were lifted up, were friends.
George lay where he was and whistled softly to himself.
Why does it look like you have your finger in your butt?
The man with a crooked jaw shrugged.
I receive calmness,
he said softly.
I just feel it.
He stuck a long, nasty finger in the air, then crooked it vaguely in our direction.
And then went on whistling again.
Well, I need a couple of good stiff drinks. How about you, Angel? You want a drink?
I could see his head swiveling.
But George made an elaborate pantomime of innocence.
I quit alcohol 15 years ago.
Whatever you say.
Yes, sir.
George lowered his eyes in a pantomime of cosmic destiny.
He rolled his eyes and looked at him quizzically. Yeah?
I feel like a lost cause.
There was absolutely no question about that. He groaned.
You know,
George's face contorted with thought.
I have no litmus test.
He sighed. He leaned forward and whispered conspiratorially.
So there's no excuse left for not backsliding.
But I knew George was going to do it. And so did he.
His mind cleared quickly. And he looked at his brother.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
He had only one small problem.
Some jinkum traps.
They were going to have to hose down the interior of that salt pond in the Sodom and Gomorrah sense before they used it again. He wiped jinkum from his nose, although it did leave a sort of quasi-jinkum death mask. Then he said,
Gosh, okay.
You sure?
Okay, you got a deal.
It was obvious what was going on, and the thing suddenly became very, very clear.
So I can get just a little taste of...
Hyperventilated.
Whiskey.
Yep.
Son of a bitch, break it out, man!
With the explosive obstacle solved,
George's voice was growing warmer.
Now, I don't know about you, but somewhere a long, cold drink is calling my name.
Damn right!
The governor of Texas gazed expectantly at the governor of Florida.
Let's go and find it.
We can go on a beer run, right? We can go on a beer run.
The idiot George grinned suddenly.
This is the objective.
Come on, get your clothes on.
George, always clumsy, stood up and started to pull on his tattered shorts to be ready for anything.
Damn hot day.
Hot, my ass. What did you expect? George's temper blazed out.
And you know what really gives me the red ass?
The red ass?
What's your problem, asshole? George frowned.
I need a drink.
Come on, get your clothes on. We'll stroll up.
Down by the river?
I'm sorry. I'll stroll. You fly.
George let himself be helped to his feet. Come on, George.
Me
and you'll go in and get a drink.
But...
Drink.
Hey, drinky-drinky, Mojo.
Come on with me. George scowled meaningfully.
Now, you got any helpful suggestions?
Yes, pull up your pants, Romeo.
Dumb, George stood up, twitching rags into place.
Come on.
Gosh, okay.
He led George into the entrance of the trail and up toward the highway. Come on with me.
Tequila shots,
yeah.
Jello shooters, mind erasers, cement mixers, Dr. Pepper bombs, kamikazes, Jaegeritas, lemon drops, B-52s, fuzzy navels, gorilla farts, scorpion bowls, Singapore slings, prairie fires, Bloody Marys, slippery nipples, flaming Everclears.
From what had gone before, it was clear that this was to be no picnic.
For nearly 2 hours, Brother Jay led them through a shadowed canopy of poison woods, pigeon plums, and mahogany. He'd slung George over his shoulder like a sack of oats. In his right hand, he held the shock collar's remote control.
George cried out, "Oh God, oh God."
Tell light through silver rain. Somebody's excited to be. Spring like December on the corner now. Let the memory fade and I'll forget.
It was just a good discussion. There was a lot of interest. Excuse me, a lot of interest in about. I probably best that I not go into the details of the conversation. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I just fell into your trap, Terry. And
when the sun comes up dead, you get sick of it. Makes a howl in your head all the time.
Get up! Come on!
You better wake up soon. I'm damned if I'm carrying a great lump like him through half a mile of homicidal jungle.
I'm gonna walk in silver rain, look for mine the same, walk for miles till I'm memory fades. And when the sun comes up dead, makes it hard.
Noon, they stopped at a dry hammock, its once lush branches now skeletal from the storm.
We've gone quite far enough.
The governor deposited George on the ground, propped against a scabby tree trunk.
George leaned against the tree and looked round. Where are your shelters?
G gazed expectantly at Jay.
Where?
Jay shrugged.
No idea.
Following his brother, the idiot George pushed on, staggering sometimes with his weariness, but never stopping.
Oh, mother, if only you knew how I've been duped.
George sniveled.
God almighty, George said irritably. If I was alone, I could live so easy. No trouble, no mess at all.
Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting that.
I could go into town and get whatever I want.
He spread his arms wide.
Or I could stay in a cat house all night and order any damn thing I could think of. Guy got to have some fun sometime.
What the hell are you talking about?
Then Brother Jay pushed a red button on the remote control cylinder. Instantly, George's body began to jerk like an enormous broken puppet.
George Bush yelled and danced. Jib
grinned with amusement.
Nothing like honest work to give you a thirst.
George's face was drawn with terror.
We've had just a glimpse of what the terrorist intends for us, and we felt the sorrow that the terrorist can cause.
The two brothers walked briskly on the sand. The tide was low, and there was a strip of body strewn beach that was almost as firm as a road.
It was actually a glorious day.
The governor wore a faint smile.
The sky was quarter color blue. Big, puffy white clouds moved regally high over the city.
Chip was carefully stepping over the dead bodies, courteously, as his brother trampled bodies under uncaring feet.
On the road to victory.
President Boy Wonder was oblivious to the bodies he was stepping on.
Hey! You! Are you deaf or what?
Chip looked at him in astonishment.
Yeah. What might it be?
I pointed at the ground.
Oh, okay.
Oh, jeez!
He pretended to fall over with bloody, foaming bodies.
I'm a lame duck.
He rubbed his rump and clowned badly.
All Americans can expect to see more
bodies.
Oh, Jesus.
Over my dead body.
They're working on that right now.
Flushed and trembling, George looked round in panic.
I just don't like being made to feel guilty.
You got that right.
Snake smiled bitterly at his dumb brother, George.
It's calm now. Great shooting Luke weather. But tomorrow, no guarantees.
What's left here where once were homes and families and warm hearts?
Get off my back, you mad dog.
Now, only desolation, civilization lies smothered and decaying under an ocean of mud.
Plenty.
Belonging to anyone who's strong enough to dig and fight and take it for his own. God, that's dramatic. I like that. So, spread about us the city where, in 2006, we became associates. Now, let's hear that back.
What good's all this history crap gonna do me? Oh, God.
That's not what I'm interested in.
George snarled at him.
Right now, I'm hungry and I want to get laid.
Charity is a thing of the past.
I told you to stop looking at me like that or I'll bust your teeth out.
Everything was all right. Everything was good-humored and friendly.
He looked warily at his brother.
All I want is to forget about this f***ed up place. Forget about this hurricane.
With that word, the heat seemed to increase till it became a threatening weight.
Much of the downtown area looked deserted. There was smoke and shooting.
And the air was full of screams and the stink of dead meat.
Miserable bastards.
Tonight the Gulf Coast is still coming through the dirge.
A civilization that was in ruins.
You should see what they're cooking up in a town for you.
We need a much clearer view of this enemy. We find ourselves debating the course we have followed.
You could say he's a man trying to survive his own survival. Uh-huh. His loneliness. His boredom. His inability to communicate with the other survivors who see the kind of man he is as evil.
Gosh, okay.
In open doorways, the children gathered shyly to look at the two strange white men. The governor of Florida, with his brambly-haired, mangy monkey.
The president of the United States.
My what?
The unlucky cowboy scowled. Jesus,
would Mama and Pappy pitch a fit if they ever heard I got taken down by a mother freak.
Oh, shut up.
Do what?
Bush walks out with a look of terror on his face like I've never seen before.
Now, what the hell you suppose is eating them two guys?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
It must, I suppose, have looked odd, all dripping.
George stared morosely at the water.
Santa, yes. Okay, well.
He hid his face and toiled on.
We're not there yet.
The rims of his eyes were red with sun glare. Just a little stretch down the highway, he says. Just a little stretch. Goddamn near 4 miles, that's what it was, he said angrily. I bet it was more than 4 miles. God almighty.
Now we're in a big hurry, huh?
And what I got? George went on furiously. I got floodwater. George scowled meaningfully at Snake. I got you. Just keep me shoving all over the country all the time. And that ain't the worst. His voice rose nearly to a shout. You crazy son of a bitch, you keep me in hot water all the time. And we got to hide in the irrigation ditch all day. We got to sneak out in the dark and get out of the country. All the time, something like that. All the time. He took on the elaborate manner of little girls when they are mimicking one another.
No, I gotta pretend I like being here.
Impatiently, Brother Jay fingered the remote control for the dog collar.
His anger left him suddenly.
I'm feeling chipper tonight.
It was a night out they were going to remember for a very long time.
Yeah. And what is coming is even worse.
Oh, shut up.
They walked for hours in pitch darkness through deep swamps and spiny thickets.
Look. Look at that.
I see how far we have come and the path that lies ahead.
Gulp.
Beyond falls and cliffs, there were the splintered trunks visible in the trees. leaving only a fringe of palms between the scar and the sea.
This place is a cemetery.
And soon the procession stopped.
Where it's all gonna happen.
President's brother Jeb
said absently.
And the sky's gonna be churning gray, and the clouds are gonna come up from the sea, and they're gonna cover the hillside, and the wind is gonna be blowing.
Plenty.
And then we're just gonna let it happen.
Do what?
George leaned against a tree, balanced on a high peak of need, agonized by indecision, and what he saw seemed to make him afraid.
I turned to President Dumbass and said,
what's the matter with you?
You know, God is dead.
There's the great city of New Orleans.
You got that right.
Brother J kicked at Brother G, propped against a scabby tree trunk.
But he himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone.
What are you aiming to do?
Get run!
Hey, you know what? I need a refill, and you need a drink.
My wife would run me over with a car if she knew I was drinking again.
Tell me about it.
They agreed passionately out of the depths of their tormented private lives.
G gazed expectantly at Jay.
How about getting a
beer?
Christ. The president's brother turned away from George.
Where's the beer?
Whatever you want to call it.
George said, punctuated with a familiar hand gesture.
Language isn't his forte, but beer is.
Beer.
For instance, do you have a beer?
Jesus, what a one-track mind you got.
Go get my damn beer, you friggin' moron!
Snake drove his knife through the top of one of the beer cans and passed the can to George.
You'd drink some, George. You'd take a good big drink.
Looks kind of scummy.
You'd drink out of the gutter if he was thirsty.
Snake said disgustedly. Then he opened a second can.
A toast to my big brother, George.
George arranged his lower jaw to accommodate the stream of Coors.
George drank from his beer with quick gulps.
Brother G crushed the Coors can and said,
You see... People don't see the fun side of beer.
He threw his empty beer can off into the brush.
Nailed it.
Right.
Drunk as a skunk on one light beer.
A globular spittle was caught in the corner of his mouth, giving him a slightly demented appearance.
Thank you for getting me beer.
Sure.
George scowled meaningfully.
I want to talk about some serious issues, such as nuclear liberation.
Whatever you want, birthday boy.
George's tone grew decisive.
As soon as I finish these here beers.
And then he dropped his head and drank again.
All right.
George drank with long gulps, snorting into the beer can like a horse.
Ooh. I'll get your refill. Words to me, bud.
I bent over for a Coors. Beer, nuts, pickled pig nuts, and three cases of Coors Light later. He drained the last Coors from the big cooler and backhanded me in the chest hard enough to take my breath away.
I've got slippery nipples, and it feels good!
I've heard that song before.
George leapt onto the sand. Do our dance. Come on, dance. He ran stumbling through the thick sand to the open space of rock, liberated from shame and self-consciousness. George began to dance.
Whatever happened to Saturday night? You just come and you felt all right. Thought around a girl, you try to sing along. You felt pretty good. Woo! Really had a good time. That's what you did.
George's dance became a complication of snarls and crashes and flying limbs.
No matter how many times you've done it for real, the whole sequence is always like a dance. Filmed in slow motion.
Hey, look at me! Yo.
The idiot George still danced, preoccupied in the center of the clearing.
You! Are you deaf or what?
George broke out of his gyration and stood facing Jib.
Whew!
He was breathless with indignation.
See here, looky here, see there? I always look forward to hustling.
I think you're doing a great job, too. Nice dance.
Shh!
George glanced round quickly, then leaned close. Don't let on we was in that dance.
Okay.
It's like this here.
His tone changed again from coy to conspiratorial.
You know what I really want?
His eyes told me we were in trouble.
Give me a drink.
He slurred.
Whatever you want to call it. What do you mean?
Where's the stoley?
Jeb Bush looked back at George Bush and glowered.
What did you say?
Sphinx.
Where's the shivers?
I let him babble on.
Where's the
wild turkey?
I don't know.
I don't want to hear it.
He saluted me with his middle finger and mouth.
A gallon of whiskey.
And guess what?
My what? My what?
I gave him a raised thumb.
Woohoo!
Rodent packed a few supplies, too.
Hell, he did. A whole gallon?
Yep.
Oh! He studied the label carefully.
Let's see here.
George read slowly.
Johnny... Red. Johnny Red.
Scotch! Wow! Now that is awesome!
George took up a coconut shell and drank, watching Jib over the jagged rim. He drank a long, satisfying drink.
There's an old saying in Tennessee that says, have more.
George pounded the Johnny Walker bottle and emptied it into his throat.
He breathed noisily when he had finished.
E-I-E-I-O.
He laughed again.
Yo, Deputy Doc.
Yo, scumbag. He smiled an ingratiating smile and clapped me on the shoulder.
We can all come together.
He smiled happily.
All happy and wiggling.
He sipped again and gave me a wistful look over the top of his glass.
I want gin.
Oh, sure. Throw that in with a splash of vermouth and you've got yourself a liar's martini.
Oh, why don't you go to hell?
He slurred.
For God's sakes, don't drink so much. Snake looked over to George, leaned over, and shook him by the shoulder. You're gonna be sick like it was last night.
I got a good ache.
You were drunk.
Oh, shut your cake hole.
Oh, yeah, you want to compare?
You had three.
Two.
Stop.
You're drunk.
George knelt on all fours and was sick till his stomach was empty.
Oh, I'm sorry, baby. I puked on me.
It was wide-ranging.
At first, he looked puzzled.
Shame on...
Yep.
Shame on you.
What?
George sneered in an attempt at bravery.
Shame of our cities. Wait a minute. For the slum areas of the city and the disrupting the rioting and people striving to
you
live
just
in...
You just shut up for a minute. 1 minute. You just shut
I
up.
I rest my case.
It's about time you rest your case. You have no case whatsoever.
Yep.
George lowered his eyes in a pantomime of shame.
But there should be no mistake in anybody's mind. I'm glad I did it.
I know. You're an idiot.
Be glad I'm not Jerry Ford.
George said with a dark chuckle.
Then he picked his drink back up, sipped it, and drained the whole thing thirstily. Then he coughed. I waited until he drunk his fill.
Gee, why the hell would you do such a crazy thing?
I enjoyed it.
The man with a crooked jaw shrugged.
But I fell into your trap.
George said, his shoulders bunched.
What the hell are you talking about?
George's voice shrilled again.
We were caught unawares.
Of course he had.
All the time, something like that. All the time.
It was about time to burst George's sicko bubble.
Brother, you disappoint me.
And that's an understatement. It's as simple as that.
You can just as well go to hell, George said coldly.
His temper blazed out, and he stabbed the air with his index finger.
I gotta get back in the dirt so I feel clean.
He sat there up to his neck in water, smiling proudly at Jib.
His anger left him suddenly. He looked at Snake.
People always said I was a dreamer, an idiot, and a waste of life, and I will never amount to anything.
George's face puckered, his mouth a square black hole.
It would have been better if I'd never been born at all.
What'd you say?
George licked his lips and turned his head so that his gaze avoided the embarrassment of linking with Jeb's eye.
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Punk ass.
Snake interrupted brutally.
You're still constantly overreacting. I have absolutely no idea how I managed to keep you alive so long.
Screw you.
I'm trying to think,
George said irritably.
The opaque, mad look came into his eyes again.
Uh-oh.
Jib stirred uneasily.
Straighten me out here. Look, I got some bad liquors. Listen to me.
George scowled.
It's so funny when you're sexually frustrated.
I'm funny enough to kick you upside the butt.
Right.
Now the absurd situation was open.
Do you believe things happen for a reason? What could possibly be the reason for this, huh? It's got to be some kind of test.
George said hopelessly.
This guy was nuts, but I didn't care.
Snake's face lighted with pleasure in his torture.
War is hell.
George turned on him in scorn.
I told you to stop looking at me like that or I'll bust your teeth out.
You're not a nice person.
Who cares, bro?
You're not a nice person at all.
I tell you, I have no intention of changing.
God, how about the entire civilization sputtered out with those words? Those who can't remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
George spun his head.
After being blamed for it, I mean...
What about the President of the United States who did it? George looked over his shoulder and sniggered.
I was appalled that the American people fell down on the job.
What is this crap?
The dark racist.
The wrongness and maddening stupidity of it.
You little jerk.
Jay, shoulders bunched, cut George off through clenched teeth. So, you're another famous racist.
Am I what?
Racist.
You can call me anything you want, but do not call me a racist.
Oh, yeah, right. Whatever you say, pal.
George's face contorted with thought. His glance was at once calculating and pugnacious.
Finished thinking?
I can't answer your question.
George sat stiffly on the bank and looked at his brother.
I totally reject thought.
What a weird feeling, isn't it?
Gosh, okay.
You got that right.
You know...
George pressed forward some kind of private victory.
Well, now that we're loaded...
Uh-oh, fart.
Oh, Jesus.
This is gonna surprise my brother.
Fart.
Don't do it.
Fart.
What? Don't what me, you know what. Don't do it.
Don't worry, I won't.
Art. Yes, I can tell that you would. I can tell by your short breath and your disgusting, aggressive behavior that
fart.
You would.
Art.
George
fart.
Was looking
fart.
Determined fart. And began to take off his shorts.
Friends don't do it to friends.
Snake said tiredly.
I don't think I ever said that.
George looked malevolently at Jib. The farting look came into his blue eyes.
Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't.
Do I?
No.
George's face lighted with pleasure in his torture.
No.
Hey, swear to God.
I looked him straight in the eye and I said...
Swear to God.
George emitted a low farting noise. Jib cried out, oh God, oh God. George grinned at Jib's pathetic faith in the democratic process. He thinks that it will stand up against George's fart force.
I just feel it.
George Bush was unruly, tumultuous scum who had no respect for anyone else.
And there's a series of these fart attacks.
George's face was dark with the violent pleasure of making this stupendous noise.
Proudly so.
Damn fool.
Sorry, man, I couldn't help it.
You're just being an ass.
Something strange was happening to George.
Smell it.
Jib was gasping for breath.
Well, smell it.
Jib, Robert Sunbush, turned over, holding his nose.
Damn it. Don't give me a hard time. Smell it.
I kind
of
always like
the
smell.
Gasp, Jib.
Yeah, me too.
George observed calmly.
Kind of smells like French toast. French toast dipped in shit.
My ass, said George wetly. What did you expect? And blew a jet of heated water into the air. This amused both boys so much that George went on spurting for some minutes between bouts of farting.
How can you stand that?
I don't mind.
A steady current of heated air rose and was thrust to 10,000 feet. Revolving masses of gas piled up the static until the air was ready to explode. Colors drained from water and trees and pink surfaces of rock, and the white and brown clouds brooded. The air was dark and terrible.
In the words of Sigmund Freud,
if it feels good, do it.
Clouds of birds rose from the treetops, and something squealed and ran in the undergrowth. Birds were screaming, mice shrieking, and a little hopping thing cowered. Nothing prospered but the flies.
They're all talking about a feeling, about a taste that's in the air. They're all talking about this mighty wind that's blowing everywhere. Oh, the mighty winds are blowing, it's kicking up the sand. It's blowing out a message to every woman, child, and man. Yes, some mighty winds are blowing, across the land and across the sea. It's blowing peace and freedom, it's blowing you and me.
George sat on the bank and looked at his brother.
I don't know why you say that.
George's smile grew more fawning.
How many times did you fart?
He leaned forward and whispered conspiratorially.
Conspiracy theories abound.
He paused for a moment and then he frowned in an effort to attain clarity.
I blame John McCain for it.
Huh?
I mean,
how the f***?
I somehow heard it was John McCain.
I swear to God.
That's what you always say.
Oh, but I mean it this time.
so much for George and his honest answers.
Hey, swear to God, swear to God.
Jesus, you're thick.
I mean, I understand that.
Jib, look malevolently at George.
Now at last it's out in the open. My brother admits that he's stupid.
I will not even honor that with a response.
George said irritably. Snake looked coldly at him.
Looking at you, I can understand why some animals eat their young.
What?
George's attention came gradually to what had been said.
And,
George was muttering.
What's your problem, asshole?
You know,
well?
George blurted out the last confession of incompetence.
I can't believe how much we suck!
He said miserably.
Yeah. George went on speaking.
I was saying you'd be better off without me anyway.
You got that right.
Jib grinned back.
George sniveled and his voice shook.
Just trying. Play the cards that's dealt me. Keep my chin up.
How did you do that?
George lay back on the sand and crossed his hands under his head. Jesus Christ.
How, you ask?
Well, George said resignedly. Look, weed, he admitted. Snake stopped and stared at George.
Weed.
Yes.
George exploded triumphantly.
I think it helped him understand how I think. I run the White House.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that very much.
George went on furiously.
His lips were tightly compressed, and his eyes yearned beneath the fringe of hair.
Give me weed every time.
He knew that the temptation to smoke might be more than he could resist.
We can smoke weed, yeah, sometimes, but not always. Roaches, we could smoke them. We could have them for breakfast. They ain't nothing so nice as weed.
Come on, George.
Shut up now. Hell, I could roll it myself if I had and smoke them. Now you get it.
Give you what, George?
You know goddamn well what. I want that weed.
What weed, George? I ain't got no weed.
Oh, hell. His voice broke a little. So you forgot that too, did you? George said disgustedly.
He run out of weed.
I don't know why people do that. Weed.
Sing!
We want smoke.
I got nothing, George. Honest.
I know there ain't. You got it in your hand. What you got in your hand? Hiding it.
Smoke.
Snake took out a bag of smoke.
We partake of a bit of gas. I've got some good
tight stick.
The desire to smoke was overmastering.
You gonna give me that weed?
Gee, why the hell would I do such a crazy thing?
Why?
Snake frowned disapprovingly at him.
I was hoping you wouldn't have to use it.
Come on, give it to me. George held out his hand.
Yeah, right.
You gonna give me that weed, or do I have to sock you? George said coldly.
I can't do that.
Give it here.
Yes, yes, God forgive me.
Yoink!
Let's roll,
said George, slightly mollified.
I laughed.
George began to roll the grass.
You're gonna be awesome, okay?
Snake looked in astonishment at the grass.
My God.
The joint President Boy Wonder gave me was unbelievable.
And it's real.
Oh, yeah!
It was hemp. 3-foot reefer.
Woo!
They sat still, bemused by the beauty of this lovely thing.
I made it much bigger than a weapon of mass murder.
It looked like something out of a science fiction movie.
George sucked on the weed.
Man, what am I smoking?
Then George breathed out. They turned to each other, laughing excitedly, talking, not listening.
Oh, God, that feels good.
Fun and games.
Joint by joint. There's only one joint left.
Listen to me, you crazy bastard, he said fiercely. We don't want no roaches. Roach stinks and beat hell.
His eyes narrowed.
One bottle of pills.
No. But our focus is on finding any drugs that may exist in our country and getting them.
Bad idea when you're full of codeines, George shrugged. It don't feel like codeine you gave me.
Says so right on the package.
I don't know why you say that.
He studied the label carefully.
Let's see here.
There's a half you owe me.
I owe you?
Yep.
What, a penny?
Man, you are one cheap son of a bitch.
Yeah. We need to be subliminal about our views on prescription drugs.
Yeah.
George peered expectantly at the governor of Florida.
For Christ's sakes,
he said angrily.
You got any more of them Darvons?
Yeah, that was my hunch.
Jib looked down at him.
No.
George's hand shook violently.
I ask you to provide life-saving drugs because you know where to look.
Listen, wise ass, something else presented itself. The governor of Florida was explaining.
You got yellow jackets.
No, I haven't.
Tell you what, you give me crack.
I got some blow.
An eight ball of coke had survived the storm's thrashing.
Son of a bitch, took you this long to tell me? Break it out, man!
Hey, whoa.
George continued to snort, snorting up snakes, whole bindle like a pig.
The bushes. Moral depravity is so great that he is now hell's equal. The combined effect of marijuana, monkey tranquilizer, and methaqualone on George's judgment was not salutary,
particularly toad sweat.
That heroin didn't do Nixon any harm, did it?
The president muttered,
and now the turkey.
Betty Ford had a pretty good idea.
I should get the needle.
Ooh. Oh. Beautiful.
George. George?
I messed up.
Oh, ain't I a little devil? Flues! What the hell is going on here?
Hey, evil Susie, isn't this over the top?
Flues, it's more like under the bottom. This is supposed to be the final chapter of the big fight to the death, and you're doing Cheech and Chong!
So I'm doing a little navel gazing on the way.
What, navel gazing from the inside? Because your head's up your ass!
Hey! Oh, I don't know how you're managing to do it, Flues, but you're actually making me feel sorry for the guy.
How much longer is this pointless story arc of yours going to take?
I don't know, 5, maybe 8 more shows. I don't know.
What? In 4 months you're going to do this?
What do you mean, 4 months?
Yes! In January, he steps down and another idiot takes his place.
What? But he's not president for life?
No, the regime of George is going to die in 4 months. You can't even do it with sound bites.
Oh, no, I got a problem.
Oh, tell me about it. Oh.